Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I'm Dave Johnson, joined by Eric Asperschlager.
Hello.
Who I'm sure is just elated to hear the news that Tim Tebow has been traded to the New York Jets. No? Yes? No?
I don't know. I read that. I mean, obviously, I hate the Jets.
Yes. So. It honestly seems like the last place. I mean, it feels like he's Dante wandering into the inferno.
the belly of the beast. The
belly of the beast, exactly. So, I don't know, just an odd combination.
But, and not just because they're in New Jersey, although that's fine.
That's a big, yeah, that's true.
Big part of it.
And Mac McIntyre, how's it going?
Hack-a-do, I'm doing good.
All right, that's good. That's the three of us, and I don't know, see if I dial anyone else in, but for now you have to deal with the three of us. So this is the Friday Filibuster. We'll kill some time for your weekend. Eric, why don't we start off with you? Just kind of update us on what you've been enjoying in your entertainment orbit.
Oh, a couple quick things. First off, of course, Community came back last week.
And brilliantly, I might add. I laughed very hard at that.
Yeah, very good episode. You know, it's funny because this is obviously, if it had been a normal season, this would just have been another episode that was back after the holiday break. But now it's sort of like this is the episode. They're back from the hiatus. So I don't know if there were a lot of expectations for it, but I thought it delivered pretty well.
Loved
normal Troy and Abed and the Dreamatorium weird down and all that kind of stuff.
She's just pro ante. That's very
pro-ante. No to what both of you said. Pierce's racial profiling camera thing that he had at the beginning there.
That's
right.
You know,
right. They could tell you whether you're from your friends or your enemies. Yeah, a lot of good stuff. I think it's just, you know, a good ensemble episode, and I think there's more good stuff to come. This was obviously not a, like a pastiche episode, but I know there are more of those coming, including a Law and Order episode.
Oh, really?
Well, should be pretty good. So, and did either of you see the trailer that they put out before, like the actual official trailer?
I didn't watch it. Wait a minute. The only trailer I saw was Jeff pushing someone out of a golf cart, maybe? I don't know.
Does that
sound familiar?
I don't remember that.
I didn't see any of the parody trailers.
Well, it wasn't a parody. It was kind of it was an official trailer, but they kept talking about the Greendale 7, and they had all of the study group in front of like some board and stuff. So there's something coming. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I know that John Goodman will be back, which will be great because, that whole storyline from the beginning of the season, if you remember way back then with Troy and Troy's fate with the air conditioning repair school, a lot of good stuff coming. So
nice. Yes. Cool. Very enjoyable. Anything else?
That's fun. Well, I guess this is sort of Parks and Rec related, since Parks and Rec is on, we won't call it a hiatus. We'll just say they're on a little, taking a little break.
Yeah.
Because I think they've already been renewed for next season, I'm pretty sure. So this is just, they're on a little vacation.
No,
go ahead.
I was just going to say you brought it up, and I'm not sure if you're going to say this, but I have to say, I've been a big fan of the show, but this season has felt a little off to me. There's two. The two creative decisions that they made, one have, for some reason, I just don't think Leslie running for office works. I just don't think it's very funny. And the only funny parts are when, like, her earnestness, which she plays, like, the straight character off of, like, Paul Rudd or something, you know?
Yeah.
And then the other thing is just, I think they finally put that to bed, but just seemed like the whole Tom and relationship was a waste of everyone's time, you know? So I think, like, those two just didn't really do much for me. I mean, there's a lot of peripheral stuff, and Ron Swanson still was, epic. And I think he does work best in those kind of small doses. But and this is a show I very much like. But I think those two decisions haven't quite panned out for me. I don't know. But
yeah, so,
I thought.
Well, I wasn't going to talk about Parks and Rec, but I will just for a second. I think this definitely feels like the logical outcropping of everything that they've told us about the characters so far. I mean, Leslie obviously wants to, aspires for higher office, so this totally makes sense. And if you buy her relationship, why am I blanking on his name?
Ben.
Ben, thank you. Boy, they've been gone for a week and I can't remember anything about the show. But yeah, it's been a more kind of, I guess, story focused season, and that there's like one storyline that they're kind of following maybe more than previous seasons. But what I was going to say was, since Parks and Rec is on hiatus, I checked out Aziz Ansari has a new stand up special.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that he's.
I didn't
he's,
see it. I saw you.
Yeah, no. He went the Louis C.K. route and is making it available on his own site for $5, and it's you can stream it or download a DRM-free high-quality version, which is very cool. So it's a, you know, it's the whole, it's a brave new world of the internet and, you know,
yes,
self-distribution, and if you're famous enough, you can make it work. So yeah, I picked it up $5. I figured that was great. I reviewed his previous, I think his only other stand-up special.
Yeah, I did watch that one, actually. That one I did.
Yeah, yeah. And I really like his stand-up style. I think he's got a, you know, an interesting voice. Yeah. Different, you know, different than what he does on Parks and Rec, but I'd seen him before. The first time I encountered him was on as part of Human Giant with Rob Hubel and Paul Scheer. So I kind of have it. I have an affinity for all those guys because I really like that show. And yeah, the new special is very funny. You know, it's a lot of stuff that I think would might not a lot of stuff that would be bleeped out if it were on Comedy Central, but because it's, you know, it's a stand-up special he can put out himself, it's all raw and uncut and stuff, and it's funny, and it's a pretty good value. $5 for 61 minutes is pretty good. So
that's good. All right.
So I, you know, support your local artists, and by local I mean on the internet. It's kind of a local. So
all right. There's nothing else you want to add? Like, you didn't get any special
packages? I did. Yes, I got a very special package the other day. Dave is lending me Game of Thrones on Blu-ray, and I'm very excited. I have not had a chance to dig into it.
I will look forward to your reaction.
Yeah, we're saving that. It's a special. I'm saving it for sweeps.
That'll be a very special old news there, guys.
I mean, you know, sort of oldish, right? I guess it's old. I guess once the second season starts, it'll be old. So. Gotta wait for that.
All right, Mac, how about you?
Well, I also was going to talk about Game of Thrones. I'm even farther behind Eric because I decided before I dove into the series I was going to finally read the book. So I'm plowing through the first book right now.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying it. I'm not usually a big fan of the court intrigue subgenre in fantasy. I'm more of the heroic quest kind of guy. But it's really good. The characters are just really well drawn, and there's a ton of characters, but they're all, each one is really distinctive, and it's a really interesting world he's set up. So I'm about halfway through the first book right now, and kind of wondering how this is going to look as a TV series, what they're going to change and how they're going to, I don't know, make it episodic.
But, well, we can't speak to the books, but I, you know, like I said, I drank the Kool-Aid pretty good, or the mead, or whatever it is they drink in that, you know, in Westeros. And I do have to say a little, here's my Game of Thrones offering. The gentleman working in the Dunkin' Donuts this morning gave my order, looked and sounded just like George R.R. Martin. So maybe he's going to, like, maybe he's just researching a magazine story or something. He's sick of the fantasy and the millions of dollars.
Maybe he's taping an undercover boss and he really owns Dunkin' Donuts.
it's his long-lost brother, George S.S. Martin.
There you go. So neither Mac nor Dave, neither of you can answer this question. I've been pondering for a while, ever since the show came out, is it worth reading any of the books, or did you just give away too much?
I've decided
show book or show. What do I do?
Not to read the books. I'll tell you.
Okay.
I've decided just to let I kind of go with the series, just because there's a lot of surprises and a lot of twists, and I'm just gonna let the show surprise me. So, I mean, I'm typically someone who endorses, you know, say go with the books, but I'm just gonna go with the show this one.
I'm traditionally a read the book, then see the movie guy.
Then get crushingly disappointed, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But,
it's the danger. It's the danger.
It is the danger. Yes. Right. Though
I like to do the old compare and contrast, but that's how I've always done it.
Yeah, everything I've heard, though, this is something that fans have really bought into, and you know, it's been very, what's the word I'm looking for? Eric, help me out. Close to.
Awesome. Awesome-tastic.
It's very close to the books. It's
authentic.
Faithful.
No. Oh, it's faithful. Faithful's pretty good.
That's it. Faithful. It's faithful.
Okay, good.
So, all right. Well, we'll get a simultaneous book review and a series review from you guys. Really exciting. Let's see, for me, just I got to tell you, I'm looking forward. The movie I'm anticipating most this year is coming out in a couple weeks, and that is The Raid, also called The Raid Redemption, which is kind of lame. But The Raid, it's an Indonesian, you know, action movie. Of course it is. And but it's made by the guy who did that Marantau movie.
Oh, yeah.
All the word of mouth says it's just really great. So, you know, just brutal, practical stuntmen beating the Miracle Whip out of each other. And I'm just really psyched for it. So a couple weeks it should drop, and I'm looking forward to it. And I do have to say, I don't know what you – it's probably really dumb, but Some of the trailers made me laugh, and again, word of mouth seemed pretty good, but I kind of want to see 21 Jump Street.
It's getting really good reviews, Dave.
I don't know. Some of the some of the trailers are pretty funny. It seems like they might have gotten the right tone. Like, they're just saying, you know, this guy looks like he's 40. I don't know. It's funny. So,
I mean, you would be the right person to gauge.
I would.
I mean, you are obviously the 21 Jump Street
authority.
Authority. I was going to say faithful, but authority is a better word.
Beyond that, I've got nothing to report. So let's move on to stuff we have for the site. Eric, what do you got?
All right. Well, one of the reasons I haven't been watching Game of Thrones yet is I'm working through, actually finished going through the first season of The Killing. I'm reviewing that on DVD. And this is the AMC show, kind of murder mystery that was originally based on a Danish TV show. And the whole thing takes place in Seattle, very rainy. There's a girl that's found murdered, and it's the aftermath, her family going through it, and then the cops trying to figure out what's going on. And I was aware of the show when it was on TV, primarily because when I first heard about it, it was people raving about how great it was. And then when I next heard about it, it was the end of the season, and it seemed like everyone was complaining about how horrible it was. So it was just apparently there was this, you know, kind of drop off. People loved the beginning and then hated it at the end. It might be one of those cases of, you know, watching it week to week isn't the best way to see this show. It's very serialized, and I don't know if this is, I guess it's not sort of a spoiler, but not really. It's a two season arc, at least for this story. So you get to the first season, we still don't know who killed this girl, and then they had a kind of a shocking, you know, cliffhanger ending, which I think left a lot of people cold.
Oh, yeah.
And the second season is actually just about to start up, so. If you didn't see it, I think it's worth checking out. At least if you have Netflix, it's on Netflix, which is pretty good. But I liked it all right. I think it was, I think watching it, kind of marathoning it like I did, helps kind of gloss over some of the weaker elements of the show. There, you know, if you took an episode just kind of by itself, some of them, not a whole lot happens, and we've talked about several TV shows that have been that way. Mad Men was obviously one that we talked about. I think the last season of Breaking Bad is kind of arguably the same way. But when you can kind of watch the shows where, you know, each episode in succession over a short period of time, it fits together a little bit better. I think that, you know, it's not a amazing show. I think it does a lot of stuff that we've seen on TV shows before. There's a lot of kind of clues that fall into their laps, and it seems like technology is used to kind of get them through what would probably be a more difficult investigation. You know, they'll find a video that leads them down this path, or they'll get a phone call from someone that takes them here. And it's also a part of the show. And I'm not sure why they did it this way, but each episode is a day. And so over the course of 13 episodes, it's 13 days, like, after the murder. So I think they kind of, in one sense, they kind of tie themselves to this really tight timeline that, if you, you know, step back and look at it, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So it suffers a little bit from that kind of 24, you know, you really get that much done in a day, situation. But it's interesting enough. The twists and turns.
They should rename it Productive Investigators.
They should. Although at the same time, there's at least one episode where they almost do nothing for the murder investigation. It's about something else entirely. So they're trying to do a lot with characters. I don't know if the characters are compelling enough to really kind of stand on its own there, but there are enough twists and turns that I think it's worth watching. It's probably more on a Dexter level as far as twists over characters and writing, if you know what I mean. But it's solid enough to check out if, you know, at this point, considering the second season is about to start, and if you get to the end and you kind of hate what they did at the end, at least you can see what they're going to do next right away instead of waiting for a year. So
it's interesting. One of my all-time favorite TV shows, if not my favorite, is Twin Peaks, which has a lot of similarities here with the murder mystery. And they also did the one episode is every day thing.
Oh, did they? Okay. Well, it's been a long time since I watched Twin Peaks, but they sort of go for that. I mean, like, the DVD cover is the face of this girl who's killed. And then it just says in big letters scrawled on it, who killed Rosie Larson, which is obviously direct reference to who killed Laura Palmer. and it takes place in the Pacific Northwest, so there's that similar sort of vibe, but there isn't the same humor and quirk to it at all. It takes itself way, way more seriously. I think that, you know, maybe those similarities, they could use it to sell the show, but I don't think it has much to do with Twin Peaks at all.
Interesting.
All right, Mac, what about you?
Hey, here's a real nostalgia trip, and I do mean trip. I have the Ralph Bakshi's animated movie Wizards has come out on Blu-ray.
Yeah, really weird cover. I have no idea what to make whenever I see that cover.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what's going on there.
That's a very famous poster.
Yes, I still don't know what's happening.
it's a fantasy adventure movie released the same summer as Star Wars, if you can believe it. And it's just, well, it's Ralph Bakshi doing his Ralph Bakshi thing. So, it takes place in this post-apocalypse world, but there's magic, and I'm even having trouble describing it. And so there's these fairy creatures, but the fairy creatures are drawn like all these, you know, half-naked, oversexed women, again, because it's Ralph Bakshi. And, everything's very strange and surreal and dreamlike, and it's really, really like counterculture, you know. It's like the good wizard, he's like the aging hippie, and he's like, you know, spouting all this, like, hippie talk, and the bad guys have their machines, and they're going to take over the world with machines, with industry, and the good guys, well, they commune with nature, and they're all about the nature and the goodness, and at one point, there's a dialogue between a mother and the child, and the mother says, well, our enemies, they have tanks and missiles and bombs, but we have love.
Excellent. and wizardry?
Well, there's some wizardry, yeah. But
that's unfortunate. No, not enough wizardry to overcome the tanks and bombs, huh?
I guess not. the heroes are really bland. That robot guy who's on the cover is supposed to be like the big iconic image of the movie, but you know, he looks cool, but he doesn't really do anything when you get down to it.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
So it's, well, if you like weird, though, this is the movie for you, because, you know, Ralph Bakshi's, you know, he just does his own thing without regard to, you know, anything, really. And the crazy rotoscoping that he does in all of his movies, yep. It's in full force in this one. And it's all the colors are all psychedelic and everything's all rotoscoped. And it's kind of a brilliant mess.
Nice. Brilliant mess. Very succinct. For me, I got nothing super exciting, but I will say the DVD I got to review this week that really bounced to the bottom of my interesting-to-watch pile. In fact, it got overtaken by Alien Opponent, starring Roddy Piper, which was terrible. But the Looney Tunes show, this Cartoon Network reboot, just didn't look interesting at all to me. Just, okay. But it is legitimately funny, I will have to say. Okay. Mac, you ever see any of these episodes?
No, I checked out after Lunatics. I take it this isn't the crew from Lunatics.
No, this is the Looney Tunes show. That's what it is. The Looney Tunes show. Bugs, Daffy, all those guys. So, but it is funny. It's genuinely funny. I laughed out loud in several parts. And it's there's just one example. Lola Bunny, you familiar with Lola?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, sure.
You know, she's typically like that. You know, the female character that emasculates all the guys, you know?
Right.
Well, they totally re-envisioned her and made her this psychotic stalker. And it is hilarious. So, it's slightly it's not like pushing it, but it's a little, you know, I can see adults getting some humor out of it. So, I don't know. I'll just say it's funnier than I thought a Looney Tunes show would be. So that's all I'll say about that. And Mac, why don't you take us on to our next phase?
Sure thing. We're going to take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray, and you at home can play along. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the Upcoming Releases tab. From there, we're going to scroll down and click on the Cover Art Gallery for March 27th. And we're just going to talk about whatever we see on the list.
Man, they are really running out of ideas for titles for movies. I mean, between Alien Opponent and Air Collision.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Tasteful.
Yeah. You're just loot.
So we got the 70th anniversary Casablanca big set, which is supposed to have a whole new super high def transfer and stuff. It's going to be
a
great movie.
Blu-ray, yeah.
Yeah, the Blu-ray. And as a good companion piece to that, you have Alvin and the Chipmunks Shipwrecked. Oh,
great. Double feature.
Double feature. Triple feature with Breaking Wind.
Oh, boy.
Dragonheart. You remember that movie?
Oh, from the 90s. With Dennis Quaid and Sean Connery.
And proto-CGI dragon.
Yeah.
Didn't really do much for me. But this is kind of a lean week.
Well, this is the week the new Mystery Science Theater box set finally comes out.
Oh, cool.
I was just, there's reviews done so many weeks before they come out, so I always forget.
So is this Confucius movie is supposed to be like an action epic? Because I just don't, when I think Confucius, I don't think, you know, badass martial artist. Yeah. But, hey, maybe it's an untold story, you know, where he takes out, like, some terrorists.
Sure. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, great one line, right? Confucius say, blow me, boom.
It's thinking more like Confucius say, I'm all here to hand out pearls of wisdom and kick ass, and I'm all done handing out pearls of wisdom.
Not bad. That works. That ties it nicely to The Alien Opponent, which starred Roddy Piper.
Oh, my God. It's Chow Yun-Fat stars as Confucius.
That's right.
In this inspiring, action-packed saga of a leader whose wisdom and cunning was more powerful than any sword.
Does that sound action-packed to you?
A sweeping battlefield epic. Confucius finds his lands threatened by the fires of war. After leading the nation's most powerful army victory against hordes of invaders, our hero finds even greater danger in the jealous eyes of the aristocrats.
I think if his wit is that much more powerful than the sword, how come he also gets a sword? Yeah, both. It's not fair.
How come he doesn't have like a stand-up microphone, you know? That's what we're talking about here. Nothing. I don't know. Anything else you guys see?
Yeah, it is something of a lean week, isn't it? I guess the new
title Murder Investigation Team.
There you go. The new season of South Park is out, or at least the next set, so that's there for fans.
What do you make of this DVD? Mastering Taekwondo? What is this? You see that one?
Well, there's a whole series of them.
Yeah.
Oh, well, look at the fourth one.
I'm pretty sure that's the Asian Penn and Teller.
I mean, even the first one, I don't quite understand the physics of what's going on. It's craziness.
Surely you've seen the Karate Kid Part 5.
It's true. All right, well, random stuff. Feel free to peruse, purchase, and support DVD Verdict. So, all right, inadvertently sleazy sounding DVD release of the week, Mac.
Come blow your horn.
Took mine. Okay. I have a backup. I'll go with Mia and the Magoo. I don't know what that means. But Come Blow Your Horn was really good, and
I guess I'll go with Man Lab.
That's a good one too.
Actually, my backup was going to be
interested in that because I like James May. So click on that. Just hate to see what Amazon will recommend for me when I do.
So all right. Danger.
All right, let's go to real quick on this upcoming A Night to Remember. It just seems like when I think of A Night to Remember, I think of like a joyful night, you know, like you're young, New York City. This does not look very. It looks memorable, but
that's the other Oscar-winning movie about the Titanic.
There you go. Looks pretty depressing. All right. Anyway, moving on. To our ambush topics, you know how this works. So, Eric, why don't you just kick us off this week?
Okay. Movies that don't seem to match their ratings. So, movies that seem incorrectly rated.
Incorrectly rated. Oh, that's a good one. Okay, I'm going to kick it off. Got to go with Willow. I know. It's been a while since we've... That's what I'll say. We haven't talked about Willow in a while. But for a PG movie, it is violent. You do have to admit that. Especially when you judge how... You know, how wide a net PG-13 cast these days? Just looking at, I mean, for you to get a PG rating, it really has to be, like, incredibly sanitized, I think. You know, Willow was throat slit, you know, close-ups of the swords going into people's stomachs, death everywhere, some bloody troll balls. So, hey, my favorite movie of all time, I've established that, but I've always thought that it's probably... It's a kid's movie, technically, I guess, but beware.
Yeah, the ratings kind of they fluctuate in what they over the years of what they have and haven't allowed. I think the James Bond's The Living Daylights, with Timothy Dalton.
Yeah,
some gruesome violence and some nudity in that movie, and got away with the PG.
Really, Living Daylights?
Yeah, I believe so. Well, I know when I was a kid, my dad and I, well, a kid, an adolescent.
Oh, is that the one where he like keeps getting chased by that bad guy and he like stripped that woman and parked her in front of the door? Is that the one?
Yes. Yeah, that's the one. And yeah, and that was the scene that I was had my dad freaking out. This is a PG movie.
Was that PG or PG-13?
I'd
be interested. That's interesting.
I don't know. We'll have to look that up.
Because, you know, move and building off of, you know, years back, License to Kill, PG-13, but they really worked that PG-13, you know, feeding Benicio del Toro through a cocaine grinder and all.
All right. Well, I just recently, for the first time, hard to believe as it is, saw Planet of the Apes. I'd never seen it before.
The original?
The original, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Saw it on Netflix. Again, love it on Netflix. And, you know, there are a lot of things in there that I now that I've – I actually saw Rise of the Planet of the Apes first, so I've seen them in order, I guess, which is a nice thing. But, you know, I get a lot of the callbacks. But what I wasn't expecting in a G-rated movie was a whole lot of Charlton Heston's naked butt. One scene where all the guys go skinny dipping, and I think there's even a shot, if you pause it at the right time, that you might see that Charlton Heston has in his cold dead hands. I was going to say packing heat. I don't know. I think you can see his junk is what I'm saying. One scene. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I imagine that. But
as we all do.
Frequently. It's a G-rated movie, though. I was really G-rated. Surprised.
Wow. Well, actually, you know, as we think about this and you look, turn back the clock, Eric, Airplane, for example, you know, PG, right, Airplane 2 PG, and just straight on bare breasts.
Yes.
Yeah. True. Yeah. Voyage of the Rock Aliens, same thing.
Voyage of the Rock Aliens, absolutely. Which, again, why is this not on DVD yet? You know?
I forget DVD. I think we need to move right to Blu-ray. I want to hear all of Rima's songs in you know, DTS HD Master Audio. 5.1 Nature of the Beast. I gotta have it.
I mean, honestly, everything else is released under the sun, but this is yet to make it. Maybe
remake comes out, then they'll release the original. You know how these things.
I'm sure it's just because they're doing a frame by frame restoration.
That's right. You know, serious question. I wonder if they can't get the rights to the music. You know,
like, maybe
it could
maybe
be.
Jimmy and the Mustangs are all scattered around the globe.
It's probably Jermaine Jackson holding them up.
Jermaine Jackson, not that. But they could cut that. That's the ironic thing. They could cut out his whole song.
Oh yeah, definitely. It doesn't have anything to do with anything.
So that'd be my guess. That they just can't get the music licensing. So.
Is everyone listening at home who has no idea what we're talking about? I'm sorry. It's an inside thing.
You are missing out. And it's the same reason why Punk Vacation hasn't made it into the digital realm either, I guess.
So.
Okay. Well, let's see. You mentioned Willow. Mentioned Virgin Rock Games. Mentioned Punk Vacation. Good.
Check. No He-Man. I'm very proud
no
of
He-Man.
You.
No He-Man. No. Okay. My ambush topic. He-Man. No. okay. Eyeballs. Located anywhere other than eye sockets.
Oh man, I just thought of two, like at the same time.
Right, well, you can only take one because I don't think there's a ton to choose from.
Alright, I'll go with Augura from The Dark Crystal.
That's a good one.
You know what? I've never seen The Dark Crystal.
What? Oh, that you're missing
out. That's my true confession. Not seeing things.
They actually watched it at the F This Movie Fest, and the F This Movie guys were not kind to The Dark Crystal, I'm afraid, but. I love it. I think the movie's a blast. But yeah, Augura reaches into her head, pulls out her eyeball, and then holds it in her hand and uses it and looks around that way. You know?
Nice.
And at other times, she's separated from her eyeball so she can see things that are going on in other rooms. It's a different kind of a movie.
It is. Sounds it. With puppets.
Yes.
Very good.
I'm going to go with, I don't know what the name of the creature is, but in Pan's Labyrinth, that sightless creature that has the eyeballs on his hands.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Wow. Very nice. I'm glad you guys didn't take mine. I think it was Gina Davis in Beetlejuice.
That's the other one I was trying to think of.
Yeah. I think, you know, she opened where the eyeballs showed up on her tongue, right? It was the Alec Baldwin because he put his hand through his head. So I'm pretty sure. Am I right? Gina Davis takes her lips.
That's one. Yeah, it stretches her mouth out.
But then
he stretches his face out and sticks his fingers in his eye sockets, pulls out his eyeballs and wiggles them with his fingers.
Right. That's okay. But then, so Gina Davis's eyeballs show up on her tongue, right? On the back of her tongue?
I think so.
I think, yeah.
And you're right.
She stretches her mouth open so that her eyes are... Yeah.
Hey, is that movie PG? Is that movie PG?
I don't know. Good question.
I think it might be PG-13 because of the...
Yeah, he drops the F-bomb, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Right after the Zagnut joke, I believe. Okay, so Mac, wrap us up.
All right, Living Daylights is PG. I looked it up.
Nice. All right, that's a good one.
Well, in honor of Ralph Bakshi's Wizards coming on Blu-ray, who are our favorite cinematic wizards?
I'm not sure who was the actual wizard in the Fred Savage movie, The Wizard. I think it was the autistic brother, right?
It must have been, right?
It must have been. Yeah.
So I'm going to go with the autistic brother in The Wizard.
Well, I'm going to pick up on the theme here of talking about wizards in movies with the name Wizard in it. There was this terrible movie that my friends watched in high school called The Wizard of Speed and Time. So, Mac, why don't you Google that one for me?
Okay.
And, The Wizard. It was like a movie. He wasn't actually a wizard. He pretended to be a wizard. He was making a movie about a wizard. So it was a terrible comedy about a guy making a movie about a wizard. It was a lame attempt at meta humor. So The Wizard of Speed and Time, pretty terrible.
Let's see. I'm looking for it here.
And while you're looking for that, I'll put in a plug for. I don't know if they count as wizards, but their band was called Sorcery.
Of course.
The band's from Stunt Rock. So I think they dressed up as, all their shows had wizards and stuff running around. So I never quite was able to connect with that guy who was going to maybe do a, let us use a song for the Friday Filibuster. I should dig through my inbox, see if he's
Well, now that you've called them wizards, he's probably so offended. There's no way. I think sorcerers and wizards are, they have some kind of rivalry.
What about warlock?
Warlocks. Well, that's there, yeah. So it's like a three-pronged rivalry.
Are we even racist for talking about this?
I don't know.
I think they prefer to be called magician Americans.
Wizard of Speed and Time looks like it hasn't yet been reviewed here on our own DVD verdict. So,
nice.
Dave, you're up to bat.
Yeah. No, I'm not sure if it's available on DVD.
It's all right. You saw it as a kid. Just whatever you can remember.
Whatever I could sum it up.
Even if there's like bits and pieces from other movies, it doesn't really matter.
All right. Well, for mine, I went with the movie, not Dragon Heart, we mentioned earlier, but Dragon Slayer. And the wizard scene at the beginning of that movie. Whose name, I looked this up, this wasn't from memory, but his name is Ulric of Cragganmore.
That's good.
Yeah. And, that movie's awesome. It has so much great stuff in it, but the wizard's overall plan doesn't make a whole lot of sense. He dies, and he leaves the curly-haired hero his magic emblem pendant thing, and then the curly-haired hero goes on his big journey and has all his adventures. And at the end, in order to kill the dragon, he has to destroy the magic pendant thing, and that brings the wizard back to life, and then the wizard kills the dragon. It's like, so couldn't you have told the kid beforehand that that's what you were doing instead of making everybody think that you were dead? Because the whole thing was just, that was how he got across the country. Because he was like too old and feeble to make the journey himself, and he couldn't afford like plane tickets. So he died and put his soul into the emblem and then had the emblem smash, and so he came back. And it seems like, I don't know. Something's not working for me there with that plot hole.
He probably left a note on the fridge, and people the kid missed the note, right. And then he went to the thing.
By the way, I died and my soul is in the jewel. So
nice. You should save that for your going away quote, Mac.
That's pretty good.
Also, did you know that the dragon in Dragon Slayer, the dragon has a name as well? It's named Vermithrax.
Vermithrax. I think they open for sorcery.
I was going to say, sounds like side effects would include loss of appetite.
That's right.
Sexual dysfunction.
Which also open for sorcery. Okay.
Zinga!
That's it for the Friday Filibuster. So thank you, Eric. Thank you, Mac. Friday Filibuster at DVDvert.com is our email. And a last tease, stay tuned for a very special objection episode with Dan Mancini and myself. That is your tease, something coming up, which we're excited to bring to you. And that's all I'll tell you. So with that being said, Mac, take us away.
Cool.